thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not the vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, this prayer is a prayer that some of us, I know myself, I can't remember the first time I heard this prayer. I was probably 3 years old, and we started saying this prayer and reciting this prayer. And, you know, it is actually in response to the disciples asking the Lord, how should we pray? And that's found in Luke. But the funny thing is, not every child, when they're growing up reciting this prayer from memory, really knows sometimes what they're saying. I have some actual quotes from little kids saying the Lord's Prayer. And one of them said this. He thought it said, give us this steak, our daily bread, and forgive us our mattresses. Instead of trespasses. One little boy said this. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He thought God's name was Howard. One little girl said this. She was reported to say, our Father who art in heaven, how did you know my name? Instead of hallowed be thy name. A five-year-old was heard to say, give us this day our jelly bread. Sounds good. And finally, one mother was teaching this prayer to her three-year-old daughter at bedtime. After several nights in a row of her daughter hearing this and saying it alongside of her mother, she was ready to go solo. And she was doing great, getting every word right until she got to the very end when she said this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us some email. Email. In our text today, we're going to look at how the Lord Jesus wants us to pray. But you know, the first part of this scripture tells us how not to pray, doesn't it? Jesus must have known that we were going to pray and encourages that because it says in verse 5, and when thou prayest, not if, but when. So we are to pray. God expects us to pray. And when thou prayest. And you know, the ultra-religious group back then, they thought they had everything figured out. Because as Jesus was saying, they liked to stand, and they would stand outside in the market square, in the synagogues, particularly at 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. And they would just give these elaborate prayers, and people would just be in awe. But Jesus calls them hypocrites, doesn't he? Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. You know, that word hypocrite actually means one who wears a mask. Kind of like we did last night downstairs at the Mardi Gras thing. And so there's deception there. There's hiding one's true identity there. And that's what Jesus was saying about these people. They were hiding from what they truly were. When we pray to God, it's between us and God. That's all. It's not to be seen of men. Verse number 6 says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and the Father in secret shall reward thee openly." You know, sometimes that's referred to as a closet. A lot of Jewish people, have you ever seen the prayer shawl that they cover their head with? In Mark 1 and 35, Jesus is talked about here. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus did this often. And it gives us another pattern on how we should do it. Do you have a place in your house or outside of your house that you like to go and be by yourself with God? I remember reading about some wonderful saint from hundreds of years ago. It is said that he had a place and he would kneel in prayer, and the very floor would be concaved where his knees would be. He spent so much time humbly kneeling in prayer. A private place is between us and the Lord. In verse 7 and 8, I want to read this. It says, But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. You know what prayer is not? Prayer should never be an attempt to overcome God's unwillingness to respond. That's not what prayer is. We don't need to worry about that. We're not trying to wear out God. We are trying to honor him and bring to him what we need and what we and that we want to honor him. And you know, this idea of vain repetition, we see that in different parts of the Bible. In Acts 19 and 34, when Paul was in the middle of a riot in Ephesus, it says that the pagans shouted for 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Vain repetition. Even when we come to God, if our hearts are not in the prayer, it means nothing to God. We have to be in the prayer. We have to concentrate and just let our heart speak to God. And as we get into verse 9 through 13, that is the Lord's Prayer. That's what Jesus was trying to tell us. And it should probably more likely be called the disciples' prayer or the model prayer, because it was, as I said, an answer to a disciple that asked Jesus how we are to pray. And it's interesting, as we look at 9 through 13, the model prayer here is divided into two different sets with three parts in each set. The first part is God's glory, to God's glory. It's hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, and your will be done. Those three parts. And then after that, it's for our good. We're praying for our good. But first, we have to get things right and give God all the glory. The second part is the other three, and it's give us our daily bread, forgive us our debts, and lead us not into temptation. And I want to tell you this. I hope this is not a convicting thing for you, because if you haven't been a real incredible prayer warrior yet, it's okay. But we can become one. We can learn, and we can devote time, and we can use discipline that God will give us if we ask Him for it. And we can become what God wants us to become. But don't feel too bad, because remember when Jesus was in His greatest time of need in the garden before He was arrested, instead of the disciples dropping their knees to the ground to pray as Jesus told them to, their eyelids dropped, didn't they? And they lost it, and they fell asleep many, many times. So there's hope for all of us in this area of prayer. But I believe this morning that we have an opportunity to recommit to prayer and allow prayer to penetrate our lives. We need prayer in this world. We need to touch heaven in this wicked world. We need to get to the place where we can be confident, we can allow God to energize us with His presence as we battle, because this is a battle. Anybody know that? Can anybody agree with that? We are in a battle today, and we need commitment to prayer. I truly believe that today. First of all, in verse number 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father. Right there, our Father is very important, because, you know, Jesus is telling His disciples, which I am, you are, if you love Him, just like these guys, He's telling us how to pray. And notice He says, our Father. Jesus is praying in community. It's not always time to say I and me, you know. But as a body of believers, we need to hold each other up. All of us. Our Father. He's all of our Father. Pray in community, not in isolation. Prayer is not to be selfish, but in togetherness. Jesus in this model prayer is saying, our Father, give us our daily bread, forgive our debts, we also have forgiven, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. So it's about community. And then we see that He says, our Father, and this is something that, you know, we do use a lot of. We call the Lord, we call our Heavenly Father, Father. And we're in good company, because Jesus used that term, talking about the Heavenly Father, over 70 times in Scripture. Father, Father. And hallowed be Thy name. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Hallowed. It means, the best I could find out this week was, it means holy honor. It's a very honoring type of declaration. Hallowed be Thy name. And as we've talked before, Scripture also tells us that He is our Abba Father, our Daddy. There's an intimacy there that God wants to have with each one of us. But we can never forget who He is. We can never let honor diminish our esteem for Him. What am I saying? He is to be hallowed. He is to be honored. He is not the big guy in the sky, you know. He is not the man upstairs. He is the awesome, holy, and almighty God. And we need to appreciate Him for that. I believe that. As we are also in intimate relationship with Him, because He wants to have that daddy type of relationship at the same time. We are to revere our God. And may I say this, hallowed be Thy name. I couldn't leave this area without saying that should not, it should also stop us from using His name in an inappropriate way. Amen? We need to hallow His name. Thy kingdom come. This kingdom in thy kingdom come is Greek, which means to rule or to reign. So what we're saying is your reign needs to come to our world. Thy kingdom, thy reign, thy rule. We are saying, Lord, let your rule have its ultimate saturation in this world. In all areas of lives that are in rebellion to him now. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now this is interesting. Verse number 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth as it is in heaven. What's interesting about that to me is, you know, we are part of the earth. We're saying, Lord, let your will be done. I want your will to be done on this whole earth, including my life. Everything that I say, everything I do, I want your will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so prayer is all about putting God's will first. That's very important to remember as we avail ourselves to prayer. It's God's will and my conformity to God's will. During the horrendous Soviet prison camps in the 60s, you know, when there was a crackdown, a Christian was praying. True story. Another prisoner ridiculed him by saying, you know, prayers won't help you get out of here any faster. The Christian looked over to the man who was trying to tear him down and said, I do not pray to get out of prison, but to do the will of God. He had his priorities right, didn't he? God, your will be done. Yes, I'm in prison, but even here, I want to do your will. Sometimes we feel like we're in prison. Sometimes we feel like we're in turmoil. And it's so important to say, I'm not asking for myself. I want to do what you want me to do. I want your will to be in my life and through my life. And once, as I said, once we get God, once God has been given his rightful place, then we have the perspective toward ourselves. We get our minds right by elevating God. And then it's time in prayer to ask for God to help us. And in verse 11 it says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, it's interesting about daily bread. It's really a reference to all of our physical needs. It's kind of a common thing, particularly in biblical days. Daily bread meant everything that my body needs, everything that I need to sustain, to be sustained. And we are saying that we trust God as the source of all of our physical needs. And just like in those days when they had to make bread every day, to ask God to give us our daily bread means every day I'm trusting you. You know, every day I have that confidence when I say that. Give us our daily bread. Lord, every day I'm depending on you, not me. Do we take time to pray for our daily needs? Is God right on the tip of our tongue as the events of our day come to us and leave? You know, is he right there when something goes wrong? Our first inclination, God, what am I supposed to do? Help me. Our daily bread, our daily needs. I read about a man that was stressed out. He was late for an important meeting, and he was really late in it, and he had to get inside, and he was just circling the parking lot. Have you ever done that? Where you just can't find a spot, you don't know what to do, you just keep going around again. Trying to find it. Well, he prayed to God in the middle of this, and he said, "Oh God, if you find me a parking space, I will go to church every Sunday and give up all of my bad habits." Well, wouldn't you know it, just then a parking spot opened up. He said, "Never mind, God, I found one." Is that the way we are sometimes? Never mind. Verse number 12. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Whoa, we're getting into some dangerous territory here, aren't we? Am I the only one that phrase in this well-known prayer has always kind of, "Well, God, you don't mean that one thing surely you don't." I've done a lot of research this week. I think it does mean that. It means it is wrong for us to ask from God what we are not willing to give to others. Can I tell you something? Forgiveness is a decision that we make. Anyone come to mind, it could be years ago that have wronged you and they need your forgiveness. And I know this hits home with all of us. But I believe that anything is worth spiritual cleanness. Anything is worth the blessings of God. We need forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin is the greatest need of the human heart. We cannot sweep it under the rug anymore. Forgive that person. A weight will be lifted off of you. A yoke will be broken off of you. Forgiveness is a decision we must make. And I believe it means just that. If we want to be forgiven, we need to forgive. Verse 13, as we go along, it says, let's see, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And Genesis 4 and 6 says, "Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Lead us not into temptation. You and I, we face temptations every day when you think about it. A little boy had the same problem, and he was saving money up for a new baseball glove. And he was almost there. He was just so close to having enough for that new baseball glove. And this was his prayer one day. He said, "Lord, please don't let the ice cream truck come down the street again today." A simple prayer, but it makes sense to me. Help me to close my eyes when I see something I shouldn't see. Keep it from me. Lead us not into temptation. I can just only talk about this guy right here. I'm not strong enough on my own to handle temptations. I've proven that. Anybody else? That's the way it is. We need help. And Jesus says, this is how we should pray. "Help me, Lord, not to fall into temptations." And I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. It says this, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted," because you will be, "He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Isn't that a reassurance today? while we are tempted, it helps for us to know. If you believe this word of God, you have got to believe that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle. I believe that. But He'll give us an escape route. He'll give us a way out. And so as we look at this prayer, I hope that we look at it afresh today. It is just a model of what we should be thinking of. And we can elaborate at every point, of course. But we need to say it from our heart. An unknown author said this about the Lord's Prayer. He said, "I cannot say our if I live only for myself." He said, "I cannot say hallowed be thy name if I am playing around with sin. I cannot say your kingdom come if I am not allowing God to reign in my life. I cannot say your will be done if I want my will all the time. I cannot say give us this day our daily bread if I am trusting in myself instead of in God's provision. I cannot say forgive us our debts if I am nursing a grudge, withholding forgiveness from someone else. And I cannot say lead us not into temptation if I deliberately place myself in its path." So again, let's use the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer or the model prayer as a blueprint. You know, the Lord's Prayer, it talks about all the things that we need to address in our lives. We need to study it and we need to take it within, not just be able to recite it from memory. But let it penetrate our hearts. And I believe this. I wanted to cover this today because prayer, as I've told the people Wednesday night, is something that I'm waking back up to. I'm revitalized by it. I'm recognizing that it is vital to our life. And it's something that every one of us in here needs to look at anew, needs to take it within. And so with that, let's say, if we have that back up here, starting with verse number 9 of the Lord's Prayer, let's say that together slowly. If you want to, yeah. Slowly as we try to take it into our lives a little bit more today. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Let's say it together. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespass, our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Pray with me today. Father, we are in awe of you today. Lord, as we worshiped you, O God, your presence is in this place. You love us so very much. And we thank you for the Lord's Prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this blueprint that we can apply to our lives, apply to every day of our life. Help us, O God, as we look at this brand new. Look at the power in it, Lord. As we lift you up first, your glory, hallowed your name, your will be done, O God. your glory. We want to start with that. And then, Lord, we can pray for not just ourselves, but the body of believers here. Our loved ones, our friends, all those that are in faith with us, oh God. We just pray that that will penetrate our hearts, renew our minds, and give us a real blessing in our lives these days. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' holy name, amen.